Well, again, this is Jim Rao. If you have your Bible there, turn it to the second chapter of Acts, and we're going to start in verse 1. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know that I've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how Jesus prepared the disciples in the book of John, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. Jesus gave the disciples instruction about what was to come, about the Holy Spirit that was to come. And I'm sure he raised more questions in their mind than he gave answers, and they were perplexed at times. They were scattered and cowards at the time of the crucifixion, and yet he met with them 40 days after and at other times before he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. And he told the disciples to wait for what the Father had promised, that the Holy Spirit was going to come and it was going to be poured out on them. They were in Jerusalem and he told them to stay there. And then in Acts 1 verse 8, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And so he told them, you're going to receive power, and that should interest us, that should get us excited, that should stimulate us, if for no other reason. We don't have to have a lot of intellectual arguments about why we need the Holy Spirit, and we don't need a lot of justifications for why God wants to do those things for us. It's just enough, brother and sister. It's enough for us to know that God wants to give it to us. That's enough reason right there. And a child, when they are given a gift, they don't raise up lots of intellectual arguments about something. They don't try to analyze it in 10 different directions and justify. It is the same for us. Jesus said, "Come to me with the innocence of a child, and you shall receive the kingdom of heaven. You shall receive all those good and perfect gifts." James 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above, and in him there is no change and no shifting shadow." And so it is with the Holy Spirit. So it is with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to understand it all. In fact, I will guarantee you, you will never understand it all. You don't understand when you read through the second chapter of Acts how all those circumstances came to pass right at that one moment in time, how everything unfolded and was poured out on the apostles and the disciples at that one time. You don't have to understand it. You just by faith receive it with the innocence of a child. You just by faith, you ask, and Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened for you. For he who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, he who knocks, the door shall be opened for him." And so we come to the Lord in faith, we come to the Lord for salvation, we believe the words of the scripture regarding salvation. We believe the words when they are preached to us regarding salvation. And right after that, the most important thing, the paramount thing, is to serve the Lord with power. And in order to do that, you have to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You have to have the immersion of the Holy Spirit in your life and be filled with that fire. And John the Baptist prophesied that Jesus Christ was going to be the one that was going to baptize us. In Matthew 3:11, John said, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so all of these prophecies came to pass. They all came to a head right there in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost. And we're going to take a look at that event right now. It's a historical event, and we praise God that the Bible is accurate in every way, historically, archaeologically, and in every way. The Bible is totally 100% accurate, but also we don't want to just read the Bible as a history book. We want to embrace the doctrines. We want to embrace the truth. We want to embrace that excitement that happened on the day of Pentecost. We want to embrace that living aspect that fills us and makes us examples and makes us blessings to the kingdom of God, and gives us the power, not just for those apostles on that day, but it gives us the power, and it propels us and it stimulates us to go forward and preach the gospel, to go forward and share the good news. There are many, many people in this world that are lost and have no hope. And the reason God wants you to have the power of the Holy Spirit is so that you will go out and minister to those in Jerusalem, to those in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And that may be some other locale besides those places just mentioned. It may be your next door neighbor. It may be down the block. It may be in the next state or into another country. I don't know what God has for all of you, but He knows, and He will reveal it to you. But first, you just need to ask Him and receive with the innocence of a child. And if you do that, if you come to the Lord in faith and come to Him asking, He will not withhold from you any good gift that it is His desire to give you. Well, in Acts 2:1, we read, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." That is to say, they were all together, not just in their bodies, were all in this one room, and there was at least 120 of them, and they were not just in that place together in body, but their minds together. They were in one accord. They loved each other. There was no dissension, and there was no disagreements. They were there in obedience to what the Lord had called them to do, to stay and wait for that which the Father had promised to them, that they were in all in one agreement, and they were in prayer, and they were there to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And then it tells us in verse 2, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." And as you can imagine, that mighty rushing wind came into that house, and many places in the scripture it talks about the pneuma, that is the wind of the Spirit, or the wind of God, the breath of God, to be represented by a rushing wind, or the wind as it blows from here to there. And Jesus talked about this in John 3:6 when He was speaking to Nicodemus. And He said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus had come to Him, and Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews. He was an educated religious man, and he came to Jesus asking questions. And Jesus said in John 3:6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And so we know that Nicodemus was questioning, "How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? I don't think that's possible." And Jesus was explaining to him that you've been born of the flesh once, but now you need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be reborn of the Spirit. And He said the Holy Spirit, Jesus described the Holy Spirit as similar to the wind, or it comes and it goes. It goes here, it goes there, and you don't know how it goes there. You don't know how it comes. Just as the wind, you look into trees and you see the trees blowing, and sometimes you just see a light breeze and it's barely lifting the leaves. And other times you might be in a tornado or a gale or a hurricane and the trees are bent over. Out here in western Kansas, many times we have strong winds that bend the trees over, and as the trees grow, as they take on a bent towards the north, many of them, because when they're green and supple, that south wind tends to bend them towards the north. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. We don't know how or where the Holy Spirit shows up, but we know that the Holy Spirit, a person, is the Spirit of the living God. It is not an it. It is not a thing. It is the person, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God Himself, and He will come and He will reside with you, just as He did into those disciples, into those apostles on that day of Pentecost. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, you need to do that today. You need to repent of your sins. you need to be born again, just as Jesus told Nicodemus. You need to be born again. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. And so it is. If you're listening to my voice today and you have never made a decision to accept Jesus Christ, you've never confessed your sins, you never repented, you never got down and really done business with the Lord on your knees and repented of your wicked ways, you need to do that today. Don't let this day pass you by without being born again, without letting the Spirit of the living God come in you and give you new birth, without letting that Spirit of the living God come in and take up residence in you, baptize you, and immerse you fully with the living God to come and live inside of you. Would you do that today? If you have not, you need to do that today. Second chapter of Acts, verse 3. It says, "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Well, we talked about in the last couple of sessions about the fire of the Lord, how the Lord is described many times in the Old Testament and presented himself to the Israelites as a pillar of fire. And he is described in Deuteronomy 4:24 as our God is a jealous God, a consuming fire. And so many times we see the fire of God appear. He appeared to Moses as the burning bush. And Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And the Lord said to him, "Tell him I am sent you." And so God is still fire. He is still the great I am. He is still present. You may not have seen a burning bush in your life, beloved, but that doesn't mean God isn't in your life. That doesn't mean he doesn't know about you or care about you. And God is a consuming fire, and he wants to consume you. He wants to burn out anything out of you that does not bring glory and honor to him. He wants to burn out all the chaff. He wants to burn out the junk, all of that stuff that does not bring glory and honor to God. He wants to burn it out. And if you'll give him an opportunity, if you'll say yes to him, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it is with you. If you're listening to me today, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, you need to do that and you shall be saved. As these divided tongues of fire sat on each of them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, there's many questions about the gift of tongues. There's many discussions about it. Many people are afraid of the gift of tongues. Many people are afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they've been told that tongues are somehow demonic and it's just a bunch of gibberish of demonic origin. And I want you to know today, brother and sister, that the devil can counterfeit anything. Any gift of God, the devil tries to counterfeit it. He tries to make a fake, and if he can't do that, he'll just try to talk you out of it and rip you away from the kingdom and tear away the gifts from you. But I want you to know that the gifts of God are genuine. They are for your empowerment. They are for your blessing. And every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above, and he is not a trickster. He doesn't want to trick you in any way. He's not a miser. He's not trying to withhold anything from you. He's not stingy, nor is he in short supply of any of the gifts. He has them, and he has them for those who earnestly desire the spiritual gifts and earnestly desire to seek the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit, receive the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Holy Spirit. And so if you would sincerely ask the Lord to immerse you and baptize you with the Holy Spirit, you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit that go along with it. It's all about the empowerment of the church. That's why God poured out the gifts. It is to empower the church, that we can be witnesses, that we not be silent, that we not sit on our hands and watch the world go by, that we get in the fight and we take the fight to the enemy and we preach and we prophesy and we give God the glory for every victory. And that is God's will for you. You may not have figured out what your purpose is here on this earth. You may not have figured out why God has you here, why he created you. But I can tell you, beloved, if you seek the Lord, if you will seek his face, you will find him. The Lord says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. If you search for me, you will find me. And so we know that God wants to bless us. We know that God wants to empower us, that we can be a power-filled, spirit-filled gospel ambassador for the kingdom of God. Well, I have seen pictures, and I've preached many revivals over in Africa and outdoor crusades. I have seen pictures taken of outdoor crusades in Africa, where it's very common over there for people to stand out in the open in front of a platform and listen to praise and worship bands, dance to the Lord, and then receive powerful preaching for an hour or 2 hours. That is very common scene over there, but I have seen pictures taken at night with a digital camera, an off-the-shelf digital camera, showing the tongues of fire resting on people's heads, the dividing tongues of fire resting on people's heads as they received the Holy Spirit, as they received the teaching and the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And so even this very day, even this very moment, there's people right now receiving the tongues of fire and the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the immersion of the Holy Spirit. And so God wants to pour it out on you. I had a revival crusade in Kibera, in a big slum in Africa, in Nairobi, one of the biggest slums, they say, in Africa. About 500,000 people live there in Kibera in very wretched conditions, open sewage ditches, and lots of drug addiction and prostitution, lots of AIDS and orphan children running around everywhere. And in Kibera, people live on 50 cents a day is the average income for a daily wage. And we set up there and did a five-day crusade there in 2011, Catch the Fire Miracle Crusade. And as I was getting in the car at the end of the first night at 8 o'clock or 8:30 that night, my driver said that the Lord had opened up his spiritual eyes and he was able to see that fire come down. He saw it with his spiritual eyes, that fire come down and rest on the heads of the people there at the Kibera Crusade. And so it is a real thing. It's just as real as that chair that you're sitting on today. It's just as real. And the evidence of the baptism, the evidence of the immersion of the Holy Spirit is normally the gift of tongues, because God wants to give you another language. It is the language of the Holy Spirit. It is the language that unites believers, spirit-filled believers all over the world. It is the language, no matter where you go in the world, that you can understand through the gift of interpretation of tongues. And so it is for you today. And if you have any doubts about the gift of tongues, or you have any second thoughts about it, I urge you to just remove those thoughts from your mind and just ask the Lord to give you every good and perfect gift. They are valuable. The gifts of the Lord are valuable simply because they come from him. You don't have to understand them. You don't have to try to figure it out. Just ask for them simply because they come from him. Well, there was a lot of confusion. There was many people then in the temple and the outsides of the temple that had come for the Feast of Pentecost, and they heard all this commotion, they heard all this confusion going on, and they said they were amazed at all the noise, the people speaking in tongues, they were amazed at the noise. And then the Bible goes on to list people from 16 different nations or 16 different tribes and tongues, and they were all hearing the message of the gospel in their own language. They were all hearing someone speak in their own language. People have said, well, there was a miracle of hearing. Well, really, there wasn't. People were hearing the message of the gospel in their own native tongue, in their own native language. The miracle was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so people were hearing, but others were standing aside and saying that these people are just drunk, that they've been drinking wine. It was early in the morning. They had been drinking wine, and they're already plastered for the day. They're acting silly. And so they tried to pass this whole thing off, and they mocked those who were there and said, well, they've just been drinking too much. Well, beloved, I want you to know that when you seek the Lord, you're going to get mocked. anytime you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit or anytime you get a little too much of Jesus, you're going to get mocked. It may be by people that love you very much. It may be by people that are very close to you. But I can tell you, you are going to get mocked, and not only that, you are going to get persecuted, so you might as well get braced up for it. You might as well get your forehead set on serving the Lord and understand that it's not going to be an easy walk. It's not going to be just peaches and cream, that you are going to be mocked. People will say things about you. They will curse you. They will try to take you down. They'll try to tear you away from the kingdom and persuade you that you're going overboard in seeking the Lord, that you're going overboard in trying to serve Him. But Peter, in the 14th verse of Acts 2, he gets up to explain what's going on and tell the rest of the people there what is actually happening. Peter, standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and he said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel," and he was referring to the prophecy that we looked at last week, that prophecy in Joel 2:28, which says that, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so Peter got up and explained that what you're seeing happening, Peter knew the Old Testament scriptures very well. He said, what you're seeing happening here, what you're experiencing right here, is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophet Joel 750 years prior to this very day. Joel had predicted, he had prophesied, that the Holy Spirit was going to come, that it would be poured out on all flesh, and that it would empower the church, that it would lead the church into a new dimension, into a new height. It would empower the church to take the gospel message, that message of hope that Jesus saves, to all the earth, to the remotest parts of the earth. And so that is God's will for you today. That is God's will for your family today. That is God's will for every believer, that they should come to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, that they should come to know the power not only of Jesus' resurrection, but the power to witness the gospel message, the good news of the gospel, the power to witness in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and even into the remotest parts of the earth. Well, beloved, I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the purpose of this ministry. That is the purpose of this program, to bring the good news of the gospel to you. If you have never made a decision, maybe there's some of you out there listening today, and you've never made a decision to accept Jesus. And Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who's in heaven. And so if you've never confessed your faith in Jesus Christ before men, if you have never done that, you need to do that today. Just humble yourself, get down on your knees, confess it first to the Lord God Almighty and Jesus, and then go find some other brother or sister to confess it to. Go into a church. If you're not a church member, go into a church and confess it in front of the brethren in the church. And as you trust the Lord for your salvation, you can also trust Him that He wants to come and live in you through the Holy Spirit, and He will give you every good and perfect gift, and He will bless you with every good and perfect gift. Just ask Him in faith to do that today. Just seek Him, reach out in faith with the innocence of a child, and believe that God has something great and mighty for you. We appreciate you listening today. We're going to have contact information here in just a minute, so stay tuned for that, how you can partner with this ministry, how you can help gather the outcasts, take the good news of the gospel to the remotest parts of the earth. Stay tuned for that. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.